听力课堂，听 class.com。
口语补充练习。第一篇，汉英口语。
Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
谢谢主席先生邀请我来参加这次教育国际论坛。有机会在此与大家交流经验和思想，是一件令人感到愉快而荣幸的事。我们大家都关心教育，在这方面持有共同的价值观和目标。现在我想谈谈我对21世纪教育的一些看法。要想知道21世纪的教育会是怎样的，首先要了解21世纪会是怎样的一个世界。我们都听说世界正变得越来越小，其实是我们因交通与通信技术的进步而改变了对世界的看法。我们几乎可以及时地交换知识、思想与其他信息。随着国际交通的进步，人与产品能够在任意两地之间以比过去少得多的时间穿梭往返。因此，从这层意义上看，世界变小了。随着通信技术的进步，人们在语言文字与可视化的即时交流方面潜力巨大。无论在世界上的任何地方，只要他们愿意，都可以办得到。许多人也因此认为，主要是由于交流技术的进步而使世界变得更小，使我们在经济全球化的背景下迈向一个真正的地球村。说幸运也好，不幸也好，随着交通与通讯的巨大进步，国家再也不能孤立存在。一国的繁荣不能没有与他国的适当互动，不能没有与世界上其他主要国家的交流。不参与这个地球村，就意味着孤立，意味着落后。人们一直在说，到了21世纪，我们将能看到知识是创造力与财富的源泉。知识能通过网络分享，而我们将生活在一个有网络连通的智慧时代。在许多国家，参与者将有必要互相分享资源，并形成各种伙伴关系。知识与经验的交流和分享将会创造一个互惠互利的共同进步的环境。成功的一个关键因素便是进一步发挥团队的作用。在商业和教育机构里，我们将能够看到有越来越多的由多国人员组成的团队工作，而不再是单个人的工作。来自不同国家的人员，不管他们的背景如何多样复杂，都要学会合作。要取得国际合作的成功，必须减少物质、情感、心理、政治以及宗教等方面的界限与障碍，或者需要逐一把它们消除。几十年来，各种机构和组织已习惯于在互相孤立的状态下单独经营。学界和高校都互相把对方看成是竞争的对手，而不是教学与学术过程的合作伙伴。从来不会有大学与商业公司联营。然而，像这样的态度和孤岛经营应该已经走到了尽头。但是一个国家要在世界舞台的竞争中取胜，应具备哪些东西？它必须有能力参加到知识经济中来。创造和运用知识将是竞争的关键，也是国家繁荣和积累财富的关键。这样的环境要求一国的多数国民在整个一生的工作当中不断地积累知识和提高技术水平。国民应当乐于终生学习，仍将继续需要多层次的教育与培训。而最根本的做法就是普及教育， 也就是让人人都获得接受教育的机会。不幸的是，普及教育无法通过我们早已习惯的教室面授的方式来实现。任何一个国家都无法拿出足够的资源来通过传统的教学方式，也就是建造大楼和教室，并让学生按规定的时间到指定的地点上课的方式来达到普及教育的目的。要达到普及教育的目的，必须应用适当的技术来扩大教育机构和相关院系的可及范围。我们希望应用技术来提高学习质量，扩大高校院系的可及范围，并极大地增加学生接受教育的机会。通过应用专门技术，无论学生居住何处，都可以让他们无需奔往教育中心，如大学，而让课程与学习机会走进他们。这就是我所说的开放式学习，也就是为学生开放各种学习机会，把有能力有知识的大学院系的可及范围扩大到标准教室以外的地方。谈到开放式学习，谈到应用技术在传统教室以外的地方给学生提供各种学习机会，人们通常会提出这样的问题：什么才是开放式学习的最佳技术？答案应是依具体情况而定，它要依许多不同的问题和因素而定。许多国家发现这方面没有一种最好的技术可用，为提供普及教育，他们要依靠的是技术的连贯统一，或者根据具体需要和偏好，而在多种技术中进行挑选和组合。成熟的开放式学习机构所应用的技术手段是卫星、电视广播、电缆传输、录像带、电脑可读光盘、DVD、电话、传真、报纸、课本以及因特网等。通过这些技术手段，可以向最广大的学生提供最多的学习机会。在经过了深思熟虑的开放式学习系统里，学生能学会如何成功地参与团组学习活动。在这样的团组学习中，学生能够互动，谦虚倾听别人的见解，并互相尊重他人的观点。在这过程中，他们也会培养批判思维的能力，大胆地以简明有力的语言来表达自己的观点。从广义上来说，普及教育帮助人们提高了他们对社会做贡献的能力，而这一目标主要是通过应用开放式学习技术来达到的。有了普及教育，就会有更多的人参与到经济全球化进程中，以及参与到国际性团队合作中。通过技术来把国际合作成员联系起来这一做法，能帮助一些国家留住优秀人才。过去一些国家的优秀人才和技术人员，为了得到更高的薪酬和更多的发展机会而移居美国和其他欧洲国家。现在借助技术的联系，形成了国际性合作团队，不同国家的专家能够足不出户就可以互相合作。因此，通过应用专门技术，各国能有更多的机会留住人才。通过技术把世界联系在一起，能使一个国家成为世界合作伙伴，全面的参与和贡献，能使知识、经验和智慧得到交流，能避免由于孤立闭塞而导致的不必要的重复。但是要使这个地球村的所有成员合作互动，并不是件简单的事情。在经济全球化的背景下，每个公民都应当忠于自己的文化与国家，这点很重要。他们应当对自己国家的历史与价值观有所了解，同时又能认识、理解和宽容本国文化与他国文化之间存在的差异。 一国公民应当把本国文化当为基础，在国际合作中了解他国文化，并与他国文化交流互动。在这个过程中，每个成员国都应平等相待。总而言之，交通与技术的进步已使世界大大缩小，我们的世界不再是由孤立国家组成的，而是由各国紧密联系、互相结成的一张经济网络，与各自的命运息息相关。在21世纪，我们将看到有更多的跨越经济、政治和国界的合作伙伴出现。对于任何一个国家要在经济全球化的竞争中取胜，必须为其公民提供普及教育，以优化个人对社会的贡献。只有在开放式学习系统的发展过程中，聪明的应用专门技术，普及教育才成为可能。另一方面，要取得普及教育的成功，并在经济全球化的竞争中取胜，仅仅应用技术是不够的，关键是人的因素。人们要具备认识和接受变化的能力，具备互相协作而共同进步的能力，具备识别并加强共同目标、理想和信仰的能力。谢谢。
第二篇，英汉口译。
Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is my great pleasure to be here with you today to talk to you about a subject close to my heart, education, and how together, internationally, we can use education to make a better world for all of us. It is fitting that I speak about this subject here at the famous university.This is known throughout China as a center of learning and a magnet for almost all students. I am happy to be able to visit in person today, hear about your progress, and talk to you. I am anxious to get to your questions, so I promise I will keep my formal remarks short. For my part, in the realm of international education, I want to make a little news today. I am particularly pleased to announce the establishment of the Fulbright Thomas Foglietta Scholarship, dedicated to research in the area of economic development. I contributed $60,000 from my political campaign fund for this purpose. We have been working to bridge the gap in business cultures between American and Chinese business. It is my hope that this scholarship will contribute to greater understanding of economic development issues in China.And will ultimately have very practical applications. I'm an American, so I'm compelled to look for practical applications. Ultimately, I hope this scholarship will help foster partnerships between Chinese and U.S. business. I also hope it will serve as a model for practical partnership between business and education, a partnership that ties scholarship to the practical needs of business development.This scholarship is being created under the auspices of the Chinese and American Fulbright Program, which was formed more than 50 years ago by the late Senator William Fulbright. It was developed to create educational and cultural ties between the U.S. and nations around the globe. We have our director of the Fulbright Program here today, Laura Miel, as well as a member of the board, my senior counselor, Anthony Green.If you have specific questions about the scholarship, any of us can answer your questions. It is clear that the audience before me today can successfully compete anywhere in the world if given the right tools, education, and access. So it is also my very sincere hope that some of you will apply for my scholarship and other Fulbright scholarships and education exchange possibilities.It is in this spirit that I wish to talk about the role of education in the growth of what we now call the global village. Everywhere we turn, we hear about the new global village and about how we are becoming closer and closer because of new technologies. This is so true in the world of education. Some people talk about globalism and its dot-com community with fear, but I want to talk to you today about the benefits of globalism, particularly as it applies to learning.To me, globalism means we live in a world where access to knowledge is greater than ever before, for more people than ever before. It means that education assumes a broader, more global role, that it must be international in its vision as it strives to prepare us all to be effective, responsible participants in the world. And I say us all because I believe education is a lifelong process, not something just for young people. I learn something new every day and know that I will learn from you today. We must welcome this internationalization of education. But not everyone has the same access to information and technology. This means that some groups, unfortunately, are left further and further behind. Because they are left behind, some groups are able to contribute less, participate less, and enjoy less than the rest of us who are more fortunate. These gaps in knowledge and access can have dramatic consequences. Our President Clinton has called this the digital divide. The wealth of a nation, the economic, social, and cultural wealth, lies in its people and what they know. Increasingly, what matters is what you know and what you can do in a global context. Countries that have large populations that are not able to keep up will inevitably suffer and adversely affect global prosperity. China has seized this challenge and can boast of world-class research facilities, cutting-edge businesses, and other centers of excellence throughout the country. The efforts by universities to encourage young people, such as yourselves, to realize their potential remains a key force for optimism here. President Clinton recognized this challenge last April when he announced a new strategy on international education. He recognized, as do I, that the growth of democracy, economic prosperity, and economic stability throughout the world is linked to the advance of education, particularly international education. The President understands that by learning other languages and understanding other cultures, we create a hospitable environment for increased business, cultural, and social partnership. At the same time, we decrease fear and the potential for conflict and misunderstanding between peoples and societies. It might seem novel to you to think of entering a classroom for understanding and peace, but all of us, through lifelong learning, make this contribution. When he signed the Memorandum on International Education, the President directed U.S. Secretary of State and U.S. Secretary of Education to work in partnership to help prepare American citizens for a global environment. He asked the secretaries to reach out to other countries to find ways to increase international education exchange and to learn from each other's best education practices. A dynamic series of exchanges began. As a result, students, teachers, ministries of education, foreign ministries, and world leaders are talking to each other as never before about the educational issues that confront us all. Some of these include closing the achievement gap between advantaged and disadvantaged students, bridging the digital divide, preparing teachers to teach with new technologies, and creating educational systems that are less rigid and more creative. In the U.S., one issue of particular concern is the increased teaching of languages. In our schools, young people do not learn foreign languages as much as they should. We need better language preparation to adequately prepare our people to work and live in the global village. We need to do better in this area, and we are looking to our friends in Asia and elsewhere in the world for advice. We look forward to continuing our work with your university and with other universities in China to advance our joint efforts in international education. I promised a short speech, so I will stop here and welcome your questions.
Section 9.
模拟考试.
Part 1. Listen to the recorded dialogue and interpret it as required. After you hear a sentence or a short passage in Chinese, interpret it into English by speaking to the microphone. And after you hear an English sentence or a short passage, interpret it into Chinese. You will hear the dialogue only once. Here is the tape script of the dialogue.
请问，学生参与国际交流会得到哪些好处？
Students on an exchange in another country gain exposure to world systems and learn how to perform on the international scene. You will meet people from other countries, participate in clubs, activities,and be exposed to a vast number of cultures, which will improve interpersonal skills and your confidence to deal with a variety of different people. The exchange is an excellent opportunity to improve on language and budgeting skills while learning to adapt to different environments and situations. You may also wish to use the formal exchange to serve as the starting point for travel to different parts of the world.
什么样的学生应该申请这个交流项目？
Students who have completed at least 2 academic years in science are eligible to apply for admission to the exchange program. The majority of students who participate in exchanges have a keen interest in other countries and cultures, enjoy a change of routine, and are able to adapt easily to different circumstances. To be acceptable for an exchange, you must have at least a B overall average and be proficient in the language of instruction at the host university.
参加这样的交流项目，每个学生需交多少钱？
Tuition fees are paid to the University of Waterloo prior to departure. There is no extra tuition charged for participating in an exchange program. While studying abroad, the student is responsible for any extra studying costs, travel expenses, passports or visa arrangements, accommodations, food, and all other living expenses. Part 2. Listen to the recorded passage in English and interpret it as required. After you hear part of the passage, interpret it into Chinese by speaking to the microphone. You will hear the passage only once. Here is the tape script of the English passage.
Cultural exchange is thus one important dimension in our relations with China. Our cultural relations go back to 1963, when Norway was the first country in the Western world to sign a cultural agreement with China. During recent years, an active cultural exchange has taken place to the benefit of the people of our two countries. Increased contacts and exchange make us realize we need more insight into the many aspects of your culture, your history, art history, philosophy, and not least the Chinese language. We wish to increase our knowledge about the great cultures of Asia, which gave the world major religions, philosophical thoughts, and the most advanced civilizations. I am convinced that the program of cooperation, which was signed earlier this week, will be instrumental in increasing that knowledge. It is a renewed commitment to the cultural dialogue between our two countries, and it is a framework to be filled with substance. It is important that Chinese-Norwegian relations are not shaped only by governments, but also by cultural institutions and organizations, universities, private groups, and individuals. Finally, I would like to propose a toast to a bright future for China, and for the friendship and cultural cooperation between China and Norway.
Part 3. Listen to the recorded passage in Chinese and interpret it as required. After you hear part of the passage, interpret it into English by speaking to the microphone. You will hear the passage only once. Here is the tape script of the Chinese passage.
现代化的交通与传播手段使世界变得越来越小。整个国际社会好像一个巨大的地球村。有着不同文化背景的地球村的村民们在文化交流和文化冲撞中和睦相处。当代社会的任何一个民族，其先进文化不是孤立的现象，而是与其他民族的文化进行广泛交流的产物。当然，任何一个民族的文化，其根基与主流必须具有这个民族的鲜明特征。文化交流不是让外国文化吞没自己的文化，而是为了丰富和充实本民族的文化。通过文化交流，不同的文化可以相互学习，相互影响。在文化领域里，相互影响是一种非常复杂的现象。打个比喻，吸取外国文化是一个入口、咀嚼和消化的过程。我们应该采取去伪存真、去粗存精、多出幽进、抵御腐蚀的原则。 我不认为各种文化的不同特点和风格会因此而消失。相反，不同的文化可以取长补短，互为补充。事实上，随着中国经济的发展和人民生活水平的提高，中国人民的视野开阔了，艺术鉴赏力也起了变化，他们的兴趣变得广泛了。他们不仅关心中国传统文化艺术和现代文化艺术，而且有了解世界文化发展趋势的愿望，有了解不同艺术风格和流派的愿望。